The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. The meetings are Newcastle in the afternoon alongside Leicester and Huntingdon, and there's evening racing on the all-weather poly track at Kempton Park. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to some of the action is Mr. Darren Owen. How are you, Wizard?
Hello, Mark.
Hello. Are you well, Wizard?
I'm well, yes.
Good.
Yes.
We're going to do the Monday jury on this part of the podcast. Wizard's going to answer the questions posed that in the Racing Post, and I'm going to pilfer them shamelessly and pretend I have an opinion, which I do, of course. But before we get on to that, I've just seen a little bit of breaking news as we record this. Camelot is to be retired to stand at Coolmore next year, so the decision coming in on Monday morning that Camelot will race no more.
Yes, winner of the Guineas and the Derby as a three-year-old, and all eyes was on were on Camelot come St. Ledger Day, but it didn't quite go to plan at Doncaster in the St. Ledger.
Yeah, and he's had so much trouble getting back on the race course since. I'm not really surprised to see it.
No.
So that is a little bit of breaking news to start with, but let's get stuck into the Monday Jury Wizard, because some interesting questions, some questions surrounding Champions Day and some of the weekend action that we've just seen as well. And well, the first question is in fact about the weekend action that we've just seen. It's were you left impressed, unimpressed, or something in between by War Command?
I suppose overall something in between. He's a horse I was very impressed with at Royal Ascot. I did the comments in running for the Racing Post on the Coventry this year, and I was mightily impressed with him when he won at 20-1 at the Royal meeting. And then he ran at, I think it was the Curragh, and he was turned over at the Curragh in midsummer. And then he's found his feet again. But on Saturday, the best way to describe his performance was workmanlike. I think the ground could be the key to this fellow.
Yeah.
I think he wants good, fast ground to be seen at his best. He's not a lost cause, but I can't use the word impressive after Saturday's run.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd say somewhere in between. He wasn't unimpressive. He did the job well enough in the end, but like you say, workmanlike. There was nothing flashy about it, was there? And I think it may just be because the ground was soft and you'll see better from him on better ground.
That's right. And I think it's very, very exciting. I'm really excited about the two-year-olds this season. I've really enjoyed watching the two-year-olds, and lots to look forward to next season. Horses like Berkshire and Buncan, the French have got some nice horses. So, yeah, but he's definitely one that I'm going to be interested in next year. I'm not going to poo-poo him after Saturday's run, but I think the ground could be the key with him.
Okay. The next question is about next year's three-year-olds. Well, two-year-olds this year, of course. Can you envisage Alpha Kira being a leading player in the 1,000 Guineas?
I suppose I can see Alpha Kira being a leading light come the Guineas. That was a decent performance on a Saturday. I was reading in the paper this morning that the handicapper has put Alpha Kira up again to a mark of around about 107. So yeah, it's certainly a shortlist material. She certainly has plenty of ability and quite a bit of pace as well.
Okay, and she's been installed as a 12-1 shot for the 1,000 Guineas next year. But on what we've seen so far, I think she's got to come a little bit to get near Miss France, from what I've seen.
To be honest with you, when we saw Andonisienne winning at Longchamp when the Prix Marcel Boussac, and that horse paid a compliment to Miss France. At the moment, in my opinion, it all revolves around Miss France.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. On to the third question. What do you make of Newmarket's other juvenile winners, Astaire and Kingston Hill?
Astaire wins no classic.
Right, okay.
I'll tell you that for nothing. He's very pacey. He won the Middle Park over 6F over the weekend. I can't have him for Classic Glory. Kingston Hill beat a decent yardstick in Oklahoma City, but Oklahoma City was making a quick reappearance.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm not sure really with Kingston Hill. Got no strong view regarding Kingston Hill, but I can tell you that it's there. Will win no classic in 2014.
Okay. What do you think of moving future Champions Day back 6 days rather to Friday in 2014? What do you make of that?
Personally, I don't think it's going to work.
No.
I can't see them having a crowd at Newmarket on a Friday afternoon.
Hmm.
I think logistically it might cause a few problems as well for television, because obviously they're going to be committed to doing Ascot the following day as well as the Newmarket on the Friday. No, I don't quite understand it. I'll be honest with you. If I was going to have these two race days consecutively, mm-hmm. I would go Saturday, Sunday, not Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
I can't see anybody being at Newmarket on Friday afternoon.
That's the problem. I can see what they're trying to do, try and get them together, future Champions Day.
But why not Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah.
Why not utilise the whole weekend? But then again, of course, I suppose TV would throw the spanner in the works and say they couldn't get a slot on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, so it's the same. I mean, I think it'd be harsh on Newmarket, wouldn't it? They've already taken the Champions Stakes and moved it to Ascot.
Yeah.
If they did this as well, it's a little bit of a kick in the teeth for Newmarket, isn't it?
I'll be honest with you, I wasn't in favour of switching the Champions Stakes to Ascot. I thought it worked really well at Newmarket with the Cesarewitch.
Hmm.
So I really don't understand this on a Friday afternoon.
Okay. Give us a winner or two for Champions Day at Ascot.
Well, everyone's jumping on the Cirrus Daigle's bandwagon with the rains falling at the beginning of the week.
Mm-hmm.
He was mightily impressive at Longshan. I was lucky enough to be there when he won the Saturday of the ARC meeting. Travelled really well. He's always a horse I have felt hasn't had the recognition he deserves with the UK race fans, because of course he was living in Frankel's shadow for quite a bit of his career.
Yeah.
But everyone's jumping on the Cirrus Daigle's bandwagon.
Do you think he's still the same horse this year?
Well, remember what you've got to think about here, Mark. He's an older horse, and as time goes by, I'm sure it takes these older horses a few races just to get fully wound up.
Yeah.
So yeah. I see where you're coming from, that perhaps he isn't the force he was, but it's probably his age. Basically, because of his age, he's probably taken a bit of time to warm to the season this year.
Okay, and he had that injury problem as well.
He had the injury problem. But in answer to your question, a winner for Champions Day, I want to have a look at the sprint. I don't know if we can have a quick look at some of the likely contenders for the sprint. Now, I think Marek might be among the runners for the sprint. Marek, who won the Prix de l'Abbé on Arc Day. The thing about Marek, he needs cut in the ground. It looks as though Marek is going to get cut in the ground for the sprint on Saturday. And also, I'm interested. The horse I'm really interested in there is Reckless Abandon. That's the horse I'm really interested in, because he ran a mighty race in the Prix de l'Abbé from a poor draw.
Yeah.
Because in the Abbé, you really want to be drawn fairly low.
Yeah.
He didn't have the draw, and I swear there is another big race to be had with Reckless Abandon. So I'm interested if Reckless Abandon turns up on Saturday afternoon, I'd be interested in Reckless Abandon in the sprint.
Yeah, from a poor draw in the Abbey, you've pretty much got no chance. It happens so quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I can see where you come from there.
And remember, this is a 6 furlong race. And of course, he's had a frustrating season because he was drawn on the wrong side of the course in the Temple Stakes in the spring, and then he had a bit of a problem midsummer. Yeah. So if Reckless Abandoned in the lineup, I'd be interested in Reckless Abandoned in the sprint.
Okay. I think it'd be interesting as well just to mention one more. If Farr does make his reappearance or his comeback from that injury, he's entered in both the QE2 and the Champion Stakes. So if he goes to either of those two, it was just an unlucky time for him to get injured. He got his first Group 1.
Yes.
He just looked like he was finally going to start maybe winning some Group 1s and realising a little bit of that potential, and then he got injured. So interesting if he comes back the same horse, whether he's in the mix or not.
It's difficult really to say at the moment, because we're only looking at the big race entries. We're not even looking at the 5-day declarations.
No.
We're just waiting for the 5-day declarations to be confirmed.
Yeah.
But it looks as though we're going to be dealing with soft conditions for Champions Day.
Yeah, it does as well, and that could cause problems with a few of the entries.
Mm.
But obviously we'll talk about that throughout the week as we get a bit of a clearer picture on the entries. Finally then, which other horses have caught your eye of late?
Century, who won the maiden at the Curragh yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
I was here at William Hill Towers. Went off, I think, second favourite behind a John Ox-trained newcomer. Century was making his race course debut. A son of Monjeur. out of a Princess Margaret winner. That was a mile. The way he won that, you'd think that Century will be a horse to keep on the right side of over middle distances as a three-year-old. So I think the Team O'Brien have unearthed another top-notch tool. So Century.
Okay, Century is one to keep an eye on. Then that's the Monday jury for another week. Thank you very much, Darren Owen.
Enjoyed it.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
So those are the thoughts, or the verdict rather, of Darren Owen in this week's Monday jury. Then from Darren Owen, we move on to Alex Dunn, the man who's going to look ahead to the three races for us tomorrow. And being from the northeast, it's no surprise really that he's looking at Newcastle, is it? Alex Dunn, how are you, sir?
Why I, Mark?
Hey!
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, Ped.
Nah, don't do this. No.
Sorry to all people from Newcastle listening. and to you, Alex, I'm sorry.
It's all right, Mark.
Yes, Newcastle. What do you make of Newcastle on Tuesday?
It's not the strongest card, but it really is in Newcastle. You get Plate Day, which is obviously brilliant, and the meeting that is around that is also good. You get the Chip Chase Stakes. This isn't the strongest card, but nevertheless, it's interesting because we've got some fairly influential trainers and jockeys have made the trip north. We've got William Buick is there. Luca Kamani sends one up. And our very own Tom Queeley is there. So, interesting to see them there.
I love that phrase, our very own. We own Tom Queeley.
We do.
Yeah. He's ours. Get off him.
But no, I just think it's interesting that they're there. Not the strongest card, but hopefully I'll be able to find a couple of winners for you.
Okay. The 3 o'clock, 3:30 and 4 o'clock at Newcastle are the four races we're going to look at, and the first of which is, of course, the 3 o'clock, and this is a Class 6 handicap over a mile and a half. And which one of these basement performers has caught your eye here, Alex?
Well, calling them basement performers is a little bit harsh, I think. I think there are a few here that aren't particularly strong. But there's some towards the bottom that are quite interesting. We'll start with Handiwork. Michael Bell rarely sends his runners north unless he thinks he's got a chance of winning. He did so at Ayr last week. Tom Queeley went and rode one for him at Ayr and it hacked up. And he sends Handiwork here off bottom weight. Owned by the Queen, Handiwork is still pretty unexposed, but just seems a bit difficult to win with. I don't know if the attitude is all there, but fundamentally just seems a little bit slow. Now, in a race like this, being slow isn't the worst thing. You know, I think a lot of these have that issue. But Handiwork's one to keep an eye on, certainly, because I think it's only ran six or seven times, has the potential to continue improving.
What do you make of the drop-in trip for Handiwork?
Yeah, I'm surprised at that. Having just said that, I think ran at Redcar last time behind Man from Seville and
staying on late, wasn't it?
Yeah, and now dropped-in trip. It may be that Tom Queeley goes from the front, you know, dictates matters and is able to just sort of stay there. But I'd be surprised if it was winning today. Not the strongest race, as I said.
Yeah.
But my best bet of the day comes in this race. It is Pereira for David Simcock and Martin Lane. Makes his handicap debut, has run three times, all on the all-weather. Three pretty pleasing runs, to be honest. Now, the bit of form that is standout for me is his last run at Kempton. A reasonably strong race, and the winner was Tagliatelle. And what did Tagliatelle do yesterday, Mark? Not yesterday, on Saturday, Mark?
Finish mid-division.
In the Cesar.
In the Cesarowicz.
Now, in the context of this race, that form is, you know, standout. Tagliatelle's a consistent performer over these kind of trips. Pereira, for me, as long as it takes to the ground, that's the only thing. Has never run on turf. 209 days off. I'd imagine that it'll be fit enough. David Simcock can ready them if need be, and the rest of them are okay. We've got a few sort of northern performers here. Valentino Oyster is very consistent, probably has an each way chance. The same could be said for the Bells of Peover. Ravi River's a horse that I have been following a little bit, won at Cartmel but has shown nothing since. A few of these have been running over hurdles as well. I just don't think many of them have got the class. One that I will throw at you at a big price is Gosforth Park. As you'd expect, given the name of the horse, does quite like it here.
Yeah.
Four runs, I think one win, but three pretty solid efforts around that. The only thing with Gosforth Park, I just think it's handicapped out of it. It was hiked up, it won two in a row at Newcastle and Pontefract. and I just think the handicapper's still got that one pretty much in its grip. Pereira for me is a pretty confident selection. I don't think you'll be getting too short a price about it either, because like I said, that there are a few slightly interesting runners in here. I think Pereira will take the beating.
Okay. Gosforth Park, actually, only a pound higher than his win at Pontefract.
Really?
Which is interesting. Yeah, he went up from a mark of 54 when he went at Newcastle, went up to 63 when at Pontefract. Maybe the return to Newcastle will...
It may help. I'd give it an each-way chance. I still think even if it was handicapped to its best, it still would struggle to beat Pereira. I think Pereira is an improver.
Yeah.
And as long as it's fit enough, we'll go very, very close.
Okay, so siding with the improving Pereira, or potentially improving Pereira, in the 3 o'clock at Newcastle. Then on to the 3:30 next, and this is a median auction maiden stakes over the extended mile and a half. And it would be no surprise to see Obstacle towards the top of the betting. A decent second on debut at Newmarket in a maiden, beaten only a length by Endless Credit. A little bit disappointing last time, though, when beaten 8 lengths by Hassel in a Leicester maiden when going off 9-4 favourite as well. So a little bit of a recovery mission already for Obstacle.
Yeah, it was a disappointing effort at Leicester. I'm not the biggest fan of Leicester form anyway. I think the debut for Obstacle was very, very good, and you'd expect it to go on and, if not win at Leicester, go very close. But it looked like it had regressed a little bit, which was disappointing. That said, you won't find a much weaker maiden. Luca Kamani has one. That's probably the main danger. Mount Macedon has shown very little on three starts to date, to be honest, and looked a handicap project. You see with Luca Kamani quite a lot. He will just it'll get three runs into them. They'll come back as a three-year-old and they'll rack up a sequence. We've seen it with Lawyer, who won at Wolverhampton at the weekend, won a few weeks ago, and he's going places. But with Mount Macedon, the form just isn't especially strong. And it's interesting to see that they haven't gone handicapping with it. It's not in a handicap. It's back in a maiden. Now, that either means that they think that this is winnable, you know, that they think that they may have seen something at home that we haven't. But nevertheless, I think the form of Obstacle's first run is just too strong for that. The other one that I'd mention is Tweed, unraced to William Haggas. Graham Lee takes the ride. Would be no surprise to see that win. But as an unraced horse, you know, we don't know anything about it. Could be anything. And the only other one that I think is worthy of mention is Artie Campbell for David Simcock. Two okay runs today, but looks like it's here just for a handicap mark, to be honest. Might be able to sneak into a place. As it stands, we've got eight runners. If they all stay, Artie Campbell could be a bit of value each way. I think Mount Macedon, if it's an each-way price, will finish in the frame, certainly. But I can't get away from Obstacle. I don't think you'll get a great price, and it certainly wouldn't be the most confident of selections. But on the form of its first run, Obstacle is hard to get past.
Okay. And Tweed, I believe, is related to Harris Tweed.
Yes.
Both out of Frog, so half-sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, half-sister.
Like I said, would be no surprise.
Yeah.
Obviously, same colours, same connections. Harris Tweed, over this distance, obviously, is a good horse. Very good horse. So, we'll be no surprise. But, like I said, with a first-time-up horse, unless you know something specifically or you are privy to some information, it is quite hard to back them. Especially when, like I said, the Leicester form Obstacle is disappointing. But the first run will put it bang there.
Okay. Let's move on then to the 4 o'clock at Newcastle. This is a Class 5 handicap over 2 miles. So, stayers in action for this one. And let's start with Cowslip, who won last time. I'm not too sure about the name, to be fair, Cowslip, but won over this trip at Ripon last time, and he won quite comfortably as well.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny name, isn't it? You wonder how that came about. I like this race, I must confess. A stayer's handicap over 2 miles. I do
this
like it.
This is the kind of race that John Budden loves.
Yes, and me. You know, just the thing is, it's northern horses that consistently run against each other. You don't always get the same outcome, but you get a good idea of where you're at with them. And unlike the other races, they're all northern trainers. You know, we haven't got something that could be a lurker off a handicap mark or anything like that. We know pretty much what we've got. And Cowslip won pretty well at Ripon in a similarly competitive field, beat Jan Smuts. And off bottom weight has to be respected here. Won't be the selection, but certainly would not be surprised to see Cowslip go pretty close. There's four that I'm going to focus on. Roselli is interesting. Some solid enough form. Was beaten out of sight last time at York, but that was a pretty hot race, and that can be excused. Been given a little bit of a break since then. And if bouncing back to the form it had shown before then, It wasn't standout form by any means, but the only problem with Roselli, the handicap mark is just a little too high. Off 74 today, and I think that might just... it could run on into a place, perhaps, but certainly wouldn't be the selection.
Yeah, she's a victim of a run.
Yeah, just really, consistent without winning. Yeah. And at York, like I said last time, never really had a chance in a pretty hot race. Then we've got Empsay Crag and Codasil, who both ran in the same race 26 days ago. Empsay Crag was fourth at Pontefract behind Riptide. Codasil was second. They're both very, very steady, very consistent horses. They run consistently well over this trip. It's hard to separate them again. I think they'll both be very, very, very close. Just solid, solid performers. And if you're looking for an each-way bet, I wouldn't look past those two. My tip here is going to be Harrison's Cave. Tom Queeley takes the ride for Chris Grant, which is interesting. Particularly if there's money for it, I think that's something that you should keep an eye on. And the form of Harrison's Cave last run is behind Platinum. Now, Platinum has gone on to, well, racked up a nice little sequence, to be honest. Ran in the Cesaro Rich, again, the Cesaro Rich form coming back here. It was tried over hurdles when last seen. Harrison's Cave didn't particularly like it. But how often do you see a horse running over hurdles, coming back on the flat and going, you know what, I actually quite like this. I'm glad that you're not showing me those hurdles again. I didn't particularly enjoy that.
Better do well here, because I'm not going back
over
there.
Yeah, basically, it's just sort of a little reminder to them that you've got an easy life here. Come on. No, Tom Quilly takes the ride. And I can just see Harrison's Cave drawn out wide, just tucking in. Obviously, 2 miles. It's the draw shouldn't have too much of an influence on it. And I can just see Tom getting it in a nice little spot and coming late on it and, fingers crossed, grabbing the win.
OK. Let's have a summary then, Alex, before you go, if you want to spin us through your three selections then for Newcastle.
Certainly. In the 3 o'clock, Pereira will be the tip. That is the best bet on the card, in my opinion, for David Simcock and Martin Lane. The 3:30, if I can just find my bit of paper there. 3:30, Obstacle. I think Obstacle will get the race. Not the strongest, but seems hard to get past. And Harrison's Cave in the 4 o'clock. Tom Queeley takes the ride for Chris Grant, and I think could go close.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Alex. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, Alex Dunn's selections at Newcastle. Then you hear all of the action from Newcastle, as well as Leicester and Huntingdon in the afternoon. We finish the day with all weather racing at Kempton Park. We'll be live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.